word in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Read the letter to the Philadelphia church. Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord will bless his word." I wish that I could expound the whole passage. That's not what I have in mind. But there's just a little something that's been running through my mind lately, and a lot of what has been on my mind has been said perhaps already, but I'll just frame it slightly differently. And I wanted that little expression there in verse 11. "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now this was written to the church at Philadelphia, the church of brotherly love, as we all know. And it was a happy assembly, an assembly that enjoyed much of the presence of God. And even so, the Lord had to say, "Thou hast a little strength." So we have nothing to boast about, but we certainly thank the Lord for what we do have. And here is a little exhortation: "Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." I want to take the little expression, I'm going to twist it just a little bit. I want to use the expression that we sing in songs sometimes: "Hold the fort." We're talking about the assembly, of course, and much has been said about the assembly of God's people. And I would just like to leave this little exhortation just at this particular point to those who might be interested. Hold the fort. There are those that are in assembly fellowship and have been many years. We've been reminded of this in the ministry this afternoon. And I guess we have to admit that those who have been in assembly fellowship for 50 years or thereabouts do have a memory of the past. And the past is very precious to us. You'll have to forgive us for that. Some of you have not had that experience, and you wouldn't get it unless you were 50 years saved and 50 years in the assembly, of course. But then there are some who have never known it even in their unsaved days. And there again, some of us have to admit that we got a little taste of this even in our unsaved days. Maybe we were already prepared for assembly life even before. And if it is true, there can only be one reason for it, and that is that upon our salvation, upon our coming into contact with the living Christ, upon our appreciation of him and recognizing his welcome and his love and his affection, it was easy to see this is a place, because they were carrying out a word which they were enjoying, because they were enjoying the person of Christ. Now I often think something like this. Supposing now we were in Acts 2, the day the church was born, and the succeeding days, and we saw those 3,000 souls saved as Peter did, not by preaching, but by observing. We see them getting baptized. We see them being added to the fellowship. We see them sharing things in common. And we come along, and we're an outsider now, and we say, "Why are you doing that? We come to somebody, you seem to be awfully happy. You're broken with your life style that we've been hearing about. and you're different. Why do you do that? Would they have to have a Bible text for an answer? They didn't have a New Testament. What did they have? It tells us that they saved themselves from that untoward generation. They broke with that untoward generation, that perverse generation. They did it physically. They did it from their heart. They did it knowing something's taking place in our lives that is different. And in the process, we are told that they continued. So there must have been some lapse of time when that was written. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and the fellowship and the breaking of bread and the prayers. But if we ask them, why are you doing what you are doing? You know that they wouldn't be giving you chapter and verse, not likely. But they would be telling you something like this. We heard a message from Peter. And we learned something that we didn't know before. We thought we were right when we cried against Jesus of Nazareth. We thought we were right when we said, let him be crucified. But we have been convicted. We are pricked in our hearts. We can see from what Peter has taught us that Christ is risen. God has made that same Jesus whom they crucified, both Lord and Christ. He's at God's right hand. We take sides with Christ. So what were they doing? Taking sides with Christ. Yeah, that's all. That's the way it ought to be. Right down through the ages, it's not the way it has been, but that's the way it ought to be. The devil does not like a clear separation between saved and unsaved. He would rather save people going to heaven mix with unsaved people in their broad-mindedness, as we've been hearing, so that it wouldn't look so real. The salvation would look so desperately different from his awful kingdom and his character. He doesn't want that. He wants to mix it up. And now we have our difficulties answering the question. We have the Word of God today. Now don't get me wrong. So my question is this. Hold the fort. How are we going to do that? And I was thinking of a military fort now, just for a few moments. Here's a little garrison of men ordered to keep a certain fort. Maybe it's in a strategic location. Maybe it's not. But they are there. And they're going to do their best to hold that fort. There are enemies without. And it'd be awful if there was mutiny or rebellion within that little company holding that fort. That wouldn't be so good. Here's a little company that will keep a fort, a military company. They've got to have motivation for doing that. What is it? Their national pride? Their sense of devotion to their superiors? And somehow or other, they just say, we'll hold the fort. They have a motivation. And believer on the Lord Jesus Christ, please understand that anyone who enjoys an assembly of God's people gathered to his name, to hold a fort, he will certainly have to have a motivation. We've heard some of these things already, so I'm not going to dwell too much on them. I'm just going to pass on a few simple things that are right on the surface. If you are going to hold a fort, first of all, you can see that you have to have a motive of devotedness to Christ that we've been hearing about. I'm going to say something like this. It's so simple, it seems to go without saying. If you want to hold a fort, and I hope you do, you're going to stay in the assembly. You're not going to be looking for a way out. You're not going to be looking for excuses. You're not going to get your mind and my eye on people. Can't you picture the little military fort again? And that little garrison that are seeking to hold that fort? It'd be too bad if there was one man there. And he started to grumble and complain. Sure, it would need a man with some strength of character to say, listen, boy, you keep quiet. There's no time here in our situation for somebody who's going to start trouble here. Can't afford it. So the first thing I will say is this, but stay in. You say, well, that would almost go without saying. remain in. But then, the thing that we have been hearing about during this conference, I just pass on again now, is this. To hold that forth, whether you are an elder or not, to remain in that assembly, you would have to have some convictions about the principles on which that assembly, God's assembly, is built. There are special principles that govern the minds of believers who have sought to maintain that fellowship for many years. They do have principles. Maybe they're not visible to you. They're not written on a creed or something on the wall. But they're in the book. And these are the things that has gripped our souls and has given us a determination by the help of God that these things will be maintained and continued. And I, for my part, we have heard some of them. I'd just like to emphasize this one again. What is the great principle of assembly life? There's got to be a purpose in it. There's got to be a plan in it. And what is it? God wants to dwell among His believing people on earth till Christ comes and lifts us all away to be with Himself. It is a delight to mix with the saints of God who have their eye upon the one that would dwell among them. God said long ago to His earthly people, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. When Christ came into this scene, and as we have been hearing, all the fullness dwelt in Him bodily, and still does. And we read these words, the Word was made flesh and dwelt or tabernacled among us. There was a tabernacle in which God was dwelling. Now, since the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God has descended. I was enjoying reading that in the upper room just recently, and how it says that all those folks were there in that upper room. They were sitting, and then it says those cloven tongues as a fire lit upon each one of them. There wasn't one in that upper room of those 120 or thereabouts that were missed, because they were all true believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every last one of them. You say, well, is it always that way today? I can't guarantee that. I would say for the most part, yes, certainly it is. But we also know that because of maybe the weakness of the flesh, lack of discernment, whatever it may be, it's possible for someone who's never been born again to creep into an assembly. And sometimes that very thing can be distressful as time goes on. Don't want to dwell on that. We have been hearing about the Lordship of Christ and the Spirit of God as being the president. And I would just like to emphasize this again. Our brother has said it so, and oh my, I've enjoyed the conference. Good to hear it. For example, think of the prayer meeting in Acts chapter 4, when the church gathered to pray for John and Peter. Do you know what happened? As they prayed, they recognized, here is God's word coming to pass, and they quoted almost all of Psalm 2. And then, when they were finished praying, the whole building was moved. That was no routine prayer meeting. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have a regular prayer meeting. That's not my point. But it's awful if it degenerates to a routine where there's not the power of God's self even in a prayer meeting. I remember saying one time to some folks, there wasn't that many out at the prayer meeting, so I had a word on the Lord's Day morning, and I mentioned to them, I said, you know, the power of the assembly is not seen by how many are here this morning, Sunday morning, but how many are at the prayer meeting and how God's people pray. And then what is more impressed me, go over to Acts chapter 13. And here are elders. Well, they're not called elders. They're called prophets and teachers. What are they doing? And they're named. There's several of them there. Wonderful. And it tells us that they're ministering before the Lord. What are they doing? Moving pieces about? No. They're in communion with heaven. They sense the need of the Holy Spirit of God to guide them. And as they're waiting upon God in His presence, God's able to talk to them. God's able to communicate to them. And He says, and they hear the message. I don't know how, but they got it. Separate me, Saul and Barnabas, for the work whereunto I have called them. What does that tell me? That tells me deep, spiritual ministry. Priestly ministry before the Lord as these dear people and then wait upon God. No wonder Paul was used of God. If I might use that term. And no wonder Barnabas was used of God too, mightily. Wonderful man Barnabas was. Good man. And we could go on perhaps along that line, but I think that's very important that we just realize that spirituality. Now, we have someone who we have met has been contacted, who shows a little interest, so he's coming to some meetings, come Sunday morning, perhaps indeed, he is sitting at the back there watching, and there's some questions arise in his mind. We come along, we would like to tell him, would we, that God is among us of a truth, that we recognize the Lordship of Christ, not in head, but in action, that we believe in the presidency of the Holy Spirit of God to guide us in our worship and in our lives, and perhaps in some other forms at all, too, we mention it, and they might look around. Do they sense it? Do they feel it? Hold the fort, brethren. That certainly means getting back to God if that's what is necessary, or certainly rising to the responsibilities that we have in spiritual matters. You've heard that already. Do I have to say this one? To hold the fort, we'll come to all meetings. We'll be true to that part of it. I think that's, so far as possible, that's what we would do in a local assembly. After all, that's what assembly life is all about. We don't just have an assembly, no meetings, do we? Well, you say one meeting would be enough, and hardly. That's good when we can meet the saints in the middle of the week, or as often as we can. So that if it's possible at all, that's the place to be at the assembly gathering. There's no question about that. I'm thinking of a sister right now, and some news would be on, and she'd say, I never heard that. Well, I'd say if you'd been out to Tuesday night, she would have heard about it. She wasn't at the meeting, that was the problem, so she missed it. Sometimes we will miss a few things. We think nobody cares about whether we know it or whether we don't know it. Well, maybe the whole thing is it was said, all right, but you got to be there at all the meetings so you won't miss anything. There are some people that hate to miss anything, and that's all right when it comes to the spiritual things, and the meetings, I think, is very good and important. However, there's something else that I wanted to say, and that's this. If I want to hold the fort, then not only will I be at the prayer meetings and pray with the saints, but I'll be praying for the preservation of that assembly. And maybe I'll have to go over the elders and name them by name before the Lord, and maybe that the Lord should raise up further elders among us, or whatever it might be, and that the gospel will continue and so on, but there'll be a lot of praying for the benefits and preservation of the assembly. And it's the old saying, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it. And if you unburden yourself in the presence of God, just take a little time. You haven't done it, maybe you'll say, but just try it. You'll enjoy it. You'll have a good time. You'll never love the assembly so much as you did after finishing a little season of prayer, praying for the preservation and the advancement of the assembly of the saints. So that's a little simple thing. However, another little thing that I want to say, and perhaps this is all that's necessary, and I'll sit down. I would say this, that if I want to hold a fort, I better recognize the body character of an assembly. That is, that I will recognize, as 1 Corinthians 12 tells us, that an assembly does function as an organism, as a body, and that people in it are members of that body. So, what do? Somebody will have to be an eye. Somebody will have to be a foot. Somebody will have to be a hand. Somebody will have to be a nose. Somebody will have to be an ear, let's say. And then there's the internal parts, that are not so noticeable, but very important. Boy, as you get older, you begin to realize our bodies are wonderful things. Here we are, there's certain voluntary thing movements that we can make, but there's other parts of our body we have nothing to do with our We don't voluntarily, we don't tell our other parts what to do, they just do it. It's an involuntary type of thing. And it's a mercy that it is so. If it wasn't so, we wouldn't be here. So we have to appreciate the saints of God that function as members in a body. But the eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Or the foot can't say to the eye can't say to the foot, I have no need of thee. I'm not just quoting it exactly right. But the point is, we cannot just say, well, I'm important, but the other person is not important. That would be disdaining. It's an awful thing to have a spirit of disdaining another brother or sister. They may not be all we think they should be or could be or don't come up to our standards, let's say. But the Lord help us to have a little grace and recognition and appreciation of a believer, fellow member of the body of Christ. And then, of course, something else I think we can think about. There's certain brethren that develop, and as they develop, they certainly do develop, and you can see their little gift, their little where they fit. And the sisters, sometimes the same thing. Kind of too bad to cut them off and to say, well, how do you do it? Well, you take a turn for a while, and then I'll take a turn for a while. It'd be something like the nose saying, listen, the nose is saying to the foot, I'd like a little relief from this business up here. Could I be a foot for a little while? How would that work? And the foot says, I don't like being a foot all the time. I'd like to be an eye for a little while. Wouldn't that be all right? Just for a little changeover. Just to break it up a little bit and make, that'd be good fellowship, wouldn't it? God has set them in the body. And I believe that setting is something we have to learn to recognize and to appreciate and let God use one and another in the capacity which he has given to them. Hold the fort.